The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio and also streaming on Facebook Live this segment. Welcome to our top stories this hour. So, a couple of hours ago, Ursula had the story that you just heard again. Two children, 16 and 17 years old, have been charged with murder now for the killing in the jungle.
No, they've been convicted.
Convicted.
Yeah, and they're now, they're now adults.
Okay, convicted as adults. And their little brother is convicted and is going to be in jail till he's 20. But they were convicted as adults. And what I pointed out a couple of hours ago is in these homeless encampments, there is rampant crime, bicycle chop shops, assaults, the rape of children. And that was very well chronicled, where a heroin addict was turning out 13-year-old girl for sex and pimping her out so that he could get his next heroin fix. Murders occur. And as I said, Kshama Sawant and other members of the Seattle City Council do not want any sweeps of the encampments. They want, and I want you to think about this. What was your life like when you were 13 years old? My life wasn't magical, but it also wasn't horrible. I wasn't getting abused. I had a mom who loved me. I was going to school. I was starting to develop some hopes and dreams professionally. I was working. I was working 20 hours a week, starting when I was 12 years old. And I was starting to build a life. I want you to think about a 13-year-old child in the jungle. A runaway girl. No doubt because, like most runaways, she's probably come from an abusive situation at home. And oftentimes, children who are abused, they try to find some escape in drugs. And that often escalates into heroin. And they're runaways. They're street addicts. And they end up on a tarp under a freeway overpass in downtown Seattle. They're laying out there on these cold winter nights. They're sleeping on mud, and then some monster with no teeth tells her that he just bought her for sex. That's the life of some of these kids in these homeless encampments. And then there are people who are getting murdered, as you just heard. And we got people like Sawant who say, we shouldn't sweep these camps. But if you painted a little bit of a mental picture of what I was just describing, that is hell. I don't imagine that hell could be much worse than sleeping in partially frozen mud and being used by your pimp and by toothless addicts for sex when you're just a 13-year-old child. And Sawant says we should let him be. And I get very passionate about this subject. Because what we should do for these children, for these young adults, for these older adults, we can't let them just continue to live in hell on earth. If they won't take all the services that we offer, and we should offer everything to them, if they won't take them, we should lock them up or move them along. But to say that we should allow children to be raped in the mud and that we should have a hands-off approach, as Kshama Sawant, I mean, there's just a level, if what I've described is hell, then we have some people in politics who are the stewards of our hell around here. And I mentioned this, maybe not quite as detailed or graphically, a couple of hours ago. And some apologist for the city allowing this to happen from the 206 texted in, do you really think our local politicians support child rape? Do you think the rate of child rape will decrease if the encampments were removed? Yes, I do think they support child rape. And yes, I think child rape will decrease if these encampments are removed. If we take a little girl and we put her someplace safe and we're not laying her in the mud with a bunch of heroin addicts, do I think the chances of her being raped will decrease? Yeah. How stupid is that question even? Do I really think local politicians support child rape? They know it happens in the jungle and elsewhere. They know that children are the coin of the realm for some of these pimp heroin addicts. And they say we should be hands off. We shouldn't send out teams to offer services. So are they supporting child rape? Of course they are. And then the unasked question, do I really believe that some local politicians are that evil? Yes, I do. And that also leads me into our big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
This is just unbelievable to me. And I'll give credit to the C is for Crank blog. Because she obtained some information about All Home King County is kind of the umbrella agency for homelessness services. And they, of course, have to do an annual meeting because they take in a lot of money. I mean, Seattle and King County spend over $100 million a year on homelessness. And so if you are stewards of that much money, you have to have annual meetings. So what kind of stuff do they do at their annual meeting? Well, according to the C is for Crank blog, they brought in a drag queen to swing boobs with only pasties on the nipples in the face of some of the attendees there. And in the video, you see men sitting in chairs holding up $1 and $5 bills. And you see this drag queen take off its top and swinging these big boobs in the face of these men who are handing them dollars or fives. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like. Sex you up for homelessness here in King County. So what bothers me personally, on a personal level, is in the last 2 weeks, my wife and I were organizing our end of the year giving, philanthropy. And one of the more significant gifts that we gave, and doesn't matter how much, but we gave a gift to a group that works with the homeless. And that group was present at this event. Some of the groups that were there, Neighborhood House, Mary's Place, Catholic Community Services, other religiously affiliated organizations. And so King County decides to bring in a drag queen from Spokane, Beyonce St. James, who, according to the CIsForCrank.com, reportedly danced on tables, gave lap dances, stripped down to a pair of silver pasties as people threw dollar bills. Some people said that it was too sexual and forced people to participate in a sexualized performance without prior consent. The supporters of this said it was fun, fabulous, and a rare opportunity for queer people of color to perform. For homelessness. You wonder why I call it the homeless industrial complex? When I give money, whether it's through my taxes or through a check that we write, when I give my money, I want it to help that 13-year-old girl who's sleeping in the mud. I don't necessarily want it to pay for the importing of a drag queen from Spokane to shake breasts in the face of the people who work for the homeless industrial complex. And when I see this, it makes me never want to give another penny to the homelessness issue around here because of the snakes, because of the evil that engulfs our money. We're spending $100 million a year, and the problem gets dramatically worse every single year. We need a reset. And I've told you a million times, we could spend a fraction of what we're spending now. You build housing for people who test clean. You provide services for people to get clean. You provide whatever mental health services are necessary for those who are addled in the brain and in the soul. And to everybody else, you got to move along. And if you won't move along, we'll find plenty of jail space for you. But we got to stop the raping of 13-year-old girls. We got to stop drag queens. Our money that we thought was going to help some poor heroin addict try to get clean, instead we're paying so a drag queen can shake gigantic boobs in the face of a smiling guy holding up a dollar bill like he's sitting in a strip club somewhere? That's our homelessness industrial complex these days? Will anybody be fired? It's government. Come on. We wrote to, Nicole reached out to the chief of staff for King County Department of Community and Human Services, Denise Rothlutner. She responded after we went on the air this afternoon. She said, the department is aware of an event that occurred during the All Home Annual Conference on December 9th, 2019. We have placed the director of All Home on administrative leave pending the results of an investigation into the event and the leadership of All Home. Because there is an active investigation underway, we are unable to respond to specific questions about the event. I'm sick of that cop-out, too, from all these government cowards. They're our employees. We pay their salary. I have the most listened to radio show. I got an audience that deserves answers. An audience that through their tax dollars has funded a ridiculous amount for homelessness. A lot of which goes to six-figure jobs to people who aren't helping the problem. In fact, we're watching it get much worse. A lot of us give privately to private organizations that were at this event. And this nonsense about we cannot comment while an active investigation. Why? Why can't you comment? Why can't you tell us how in the world, what the process was that made you think bringing a drag queen wearing nothing but a couple of tiny little silver dollar pasties, shaking them in the face. And by the way, the guys who are holding up the dollar bills, what a bunch of disgusting pigs they are. Is that any better if you're a married man than going to Deja Vu or Rick's? I mean, I'd like to know, how do the spouses of these pigs who work in the homelessness industrial complex, have your wives seen the video? Have they seen you hooting and hollering while a guy with gigantic boobs is shaking them in your face and you're slipping a dollar to the person? Oh, but it's like the heroin injection centers that are coming. All of this is under the watchful eye of government. So there can't be anything wrong with that. Nothing. Government says it's okay. And then one other point that I made a couple of hours ago. Adults who want to go to drag shows couldn't care less. If that's your form of entertainment, I don't care. But what is government's obsession with making you and me pay for drag queen story time at the King County Library and beyond? What is government's obsession with taking money that could help mentally ill or heroin addicts or sex abused children sleeping in the mud in Seattle, and you decide, no, the money will be better spent on bringing in a drag queen so that our employee... Oh, and they were having so much fun, too. I want you to listen to this. Listen, this is your homelessness community. The people who are supposed to help. The people who are supposed to solve the problem. This is your community. This is your tax dollars at work. These are the people that you hear in the background of this audio that we are paying for, either through our taxes or through our charitable donations, to try to save lives of the homeless. Does this sound like a group that's a real crackerjack group of problem solvers? Wow. There's your homelessness industrial complex in Seattle and King County, right there. I don't know, the person who's been suspended, they're on a paid vacation. They're getting an extra Christmas break. Who knows if they'll be fired. But if this is the kind of thinking that is the stewards of $100 million a year in Seattle and King County, is it any wonder that the problem has gotten dramatically worse? Do you wonder why you see tarps and tents everywhere? Why we are spending as much per capita as any region in the United States only to see the number of homelessness increasing? Here's why. Right there. Good job to Erica Barnett, the C is for Crank blog, who broke that story. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then, where we usually do awesome audio, we'll continue with Monson Madness. Count down our favorite sound bites of 2019, because we need your votes. Coming up. Today is the second and final day for the first round of Monson Madness. 32 sound bites that we've picked as among the best of the year. And then by next Thursday, you will have selected your favorite sound bite of 2019. But you got to go vote. Got to go to mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson show page. You will see Monson Madness there. And let's look at what else is going on. Let's go to the Cedro Woolley side of the bracket here, where the number one seed, and this is very sweet, and now that we have the benefit of more hindsight, DK Metcalf of the Seahawks, he might be having the best rookie season of any wide receiver in the NFL. But I want to take you back to draft day when John Schneider and Pete Carroll called him to tell him that they were going to make him a Seattle Seahawk. And the emotion was very, very sweet.
Hello.
DK.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's John Schneider with the Seattle Seahawks.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, bud?
Good.
You doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
yes,
man,
sir.
Get fired up. We're going to make you a Seahawk right here, okay? You all right, bud? All right, man, congratulations.
Thank you.
You got to help me out in the weight room, though. I'm a little slow in that area, okay? Yeah. All right. Look forward to this, brother, okay? Here's Coach Carroll.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
DK. Hey, DK, this is Coach Pete Carroll.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Okay, we'll both cry together then, all right?
Why y'all wait this long, man?
I know you had to wait a little bit, but that doesn't matter because you're coming to Seattle, man. You're going to play with the Seahawks, and you're going to catch footballs from Russell Wilson. So get your ass ready to go, big fella. We are fired up for it, and the staff is excited. Listen to these guys. Here's your staff. How about that?
Thank you.
TK, this is awesome, man. We're so excited about this. I can't even tell you.
How sweet is that?
That still gives me chills.
Yeah. Like I said, that might have to just shoot right up to the top four.
I know.
That's the number one seed.
Okay.
In its side of the bracket. And it's
It's just the best. It's dreams coming true. You can just feel it all happen. It's crazy.
And that may give you a glimpse as to why he has worked so hard to have the best rookie season of any wide receiver in the league.
That's so cool.
Now, he is up against an 8th seed in the Cedro Woolley side of the bracket. And that was, it's kind of a different football type of person. Cougar coach Mike Leach was talking about surviving in-laws.
Try to have home field advantage, okay? Because home field advantage is critical. But at times, you're not going to have home field advantage. So always have an escape option, okay? Be polite, do what you can. Have a well-placed TV set, hopefully in a separate room. But if that's not the case, have some errand or something urgent that you need to do or shop for or check out, that type of thing.
Okay, it goes on for 42 seconds more. But that's a 1-8 in that side of the bracket. Here's another matchup that you can vote on. It's a 7-seed versus a 2-seed. When CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, when a guy in a restaurant called him Fredo, Chris Cuomo did not like that. Even though in the past he's referred to himself by that name of one of the Corleone brothers.
I want to be a man out here. Then own what you said. Then own what you said.
Listen, man, I have a problem with you.
You're going to have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll ruin you. Throw you down these stairs like a punk.
Please do.
Why?
You don't want to sue?
That's Chris Cuomo. Instead of walking away from some guy who just wants to get under your skin, instead of walking away, Chris Cuomo starts throwing F-bombs, starts physically threatening the guy. He's going to throw him down the stairs. Walk away.
So you want to call me
Call me Hey, listen, man. I'm not doing anything. I'll wreck your stop.
So that's Chris Cuomo. He is a 7-seed, and he's up against me? Well, me being talked about by Donald Trump. That's a 2-seed.
Hey, President Trump, I know you want to talk about the border wall, but what are your thoughts on Seattle talk radio host Dory Monson?
I think he's a great guy. He's a guy who can speak for 3 hours without a phone call. Try doing that sometime. For 3 hours he speaks. He's got one of the biggest audiences in the history of the world. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Try speaking for 3 hours without taking calls. Taking calls is easy. Okay, I'll answer this one, I'll answer that one. He goes for 3 hours, and he's got an audience that's fantastic.
Yes, I do. Okay, also in that bracket, a 6-3. The Florida man, who had a brilliant idea on how to stop the hurricane that was rolling in.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, it said this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. All this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? This got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and say, well, it's now it's getting worse.
Why didn't anybody else think about that? He is up against Michael Scott from The Office because somebody brilliantly pulled Michael Scott as all of the Democrat presidential candidates.
Too much change is not a good thing. That's the climate.
Here you go.
Okay, Michael, come on, let us out.
No, if you think prison is so wonderful, then enjoy prison.
Nothing wrong with this stuff at all. This is fine. You know what? Gay porn, straight porn, it's all good.
I think she is an incredibly, incredibly attractive person. Come here. Come here, Chris. Come on.
Michael, come on. You don't have to.
Well, guess what? I have flaws. What are they? Oh, I don't know. I sing in the shower. Sometimes I spend too much time volunteering. Occasionally I'll hit somebody with my car.
I am Michael, and I am part English, Irish, German, and Scottish. Sort of a virtual United Nations. But what some of you might not know is that I am also part Native American Indian.
What part Native American?
2/15.
Okay, then finally, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Man, she was confused by a garbage disposal.
I am told this is a garbage disposal. I've never seen a garbage disposal. I never had one in any place I've ever lived. It is terrifying. I don't know what to use it for or what its purpose is. Like food scraps? Like, is this environmentally sound? I don't know.
Like, I don't know either. Okay, so go vote. MyNorthwest.com, Dory Monson show page. Click on Monson Madness. Vote on all 16 first-round matchups, and we'll have it down to the Sweet 16 by tomorrow. And today's side is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And, of course, we have more to do because I wouldn't dream of leaving here without presenting today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline Bozeman, Montana. It's big sky country, you know. The Bozeman Fire Department got a call about an explosion in a home. When they arrived, the battalion chief quickly figured out the source of the explosion. The three young men who lived at the house, one of them had a can of bear spray, and for reasons I can't even begin to fathom, he decided to stash the bear spray in the oven for safekeeping. So, of course, when the oven was turned on, the bear spray can exploded. Nobody was injured in the explosion, but the men did have to be evacuated from the house until it can be fumigated. Find a better place for your bear spray. Cry out loud. Today's sun story number two. Dateline, New York, New York. The city so nice they named it twice. Christmas trees in the city are harder and harder to come by this year. There apparently is a shortage of the much sought after Fraser fir variety of Christmas trees. And so now some of the trees, according to the New York Post, some of the trees in New York City are going for as much as $6,500. That was at one lot where they did a survey. Other sellers were pricing select trees anywhere from $850 to $2,000. And Fraser firs are the particularly pricey species. And farmers in North Carolina did not plant as many during the 2008 recession, and the plants take about 10 years to mature, so there are fewer available now. The most expensive one, the $6,500 price tag, was found at Soho Trees, which has 7 stands throughout Manhattan to serve those pricey condo dwellers around the city. And they're sold out of the 20-foot Frasers, which went mostly to customers with penthouses or building lobbies to outfit. I tell you, the more I hear stories like this, I spent a lot. I didn't spend anywhere near this much, but I spent a lot to get the most realistic-looking artificial tree on the market, and it's beautiful. And I just absolutely love it. We've had it up since Thanksgiving night. Couldn't be happier with it. Now that I'm hearing about these $6,500 trees, why in the world wouldn't they just... I mean, I know. I said I'd never get a fake tree. But if your choice is spending $6,500 for a tree that's going to be dead in a couple of weeks versus a couple grand... Not even that, for a beautiful tree that you can have for the next 10, 20 years? I don't get that. All right, then finally, do we have any mosquito music by any chance? Mosquito music.
He's a loser. Hey, no mind what he says.
This is an obscure one. This is when the rock band The Mosquitoes landed on Gilligan's Island. A man whose farts kill mosquitoes claims to have been signed up by an insect repellent company probing the secret of his killer gas. Joe Ronmarama, he's 48 years old, he's from Uganda. He says that people have confirmed that his gas is particularly deadly to mosquitoes. I'm guessing it's not too pleasant for his housemates either. So now he's trying to mass market it. And I wish him the best. And all that is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. That's everything I have to say. Pete Carroll will join me tomorrow. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
Well, that's it for tonight.
I feel my job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
You got your work cut out for you, Bird.
Now that was unwholesome. That was not cultural.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.